This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Miyuki Okiranta, and over the next few weeks on Earshot, the intimate journeys of people trying to create and hold on to their families despite challenging circumstances.
I'm reading a book for you. I love you heaps and I miss you. It's called Possum Magic. Once upon a time, but not very long ago, deep in the Australian bush lived two possums. Their names were Hush and Grandma Poss.
We begin with a father Grandma reading Poss his child a bedtime story. A nightly routine in many households.
I've got a book here for you. It's called The Magic Finger by Ronald Dahl. I miss you like crazy and I'll see you soon. The farm next to ours is owned by Mr. and Mrs.
But this fairly simple routine is made difficult if the parent and the child are separated.
Hey, my boy, it's your dad here. I saw read you a story that I heard from down here in Victoria. It's about the kangaroo and the porpoise.
Like these fathers, who are all currently serving prison sentences.
Attention, Middleton, standing in your land rooms for the count, standing in your land rooms for the count.
So instead, the read-along dad's program is the next best thing. The prisoners make recordings of children's books and send them on to their kids.
Dad's going to read you a book called Dinosaurs Love Underpants. Dinosaurs were all wiped out a long way back in history.
Fiona Pepper went inside a minimum restricted security jail to meet a group of men participating in the program. And no surprises, there's a language warning.
I've been in jail for 11 years and I've been doing read-along dads for 5 years.
Yeah, hi, I've been in here for about nearly 3 years now.
I've been in jail close to 10 years.
And how come you take part in read-along dads?
Just so I can stay in touch with my kids and have something for my kids to do and that, so, yeah.
I do this program to try and help reconnect with my children and that, so I learn stories from other elders and Indigenous cultures as well.
And have you had any feedback from them about read-along dads?
Yeah, they love it. They look forward to getting the books and hearing my voice on the cassettes and that. So they listen to them a lot when they're down and out and something to remind them of me and that.
My kids is 14 and 15 year old. I have two daughters. I've done 10 years in jail and pretty much they were like a baby. I don't really know what they like it or not.
Have you got better at reading?
Yeah, I got heaps better at reading. I couldn't read at all when I first come to jail, so now I can read a lot.
I'm sitting in a classroom at Middleton Men's Prison. It's a couple of hours' drive north of Melbourne. The facility reminds me of a high school campus, a large oval with a gym and classrooms dotted around it. Middleton has around 250 prisoners, and a good portion of the men are fathers. And these dads, dressed in dark green tracksuits, are slowly filtering in for the read-along dad session.
Hello. Good. Hi.
How are you going?
Good.
Is today the reading or the art?
Reading. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Okay, so...
You didn't
have
a story.
No.
Did
you do it
with Alice? Yes.
Yeah, beautiful.
So how it works is participants choose a book for their kids or their grandkids or their nieces or nephews. Then they read the book and come back to me and I record them on a digital recorder. And then I edit their recording, burn it onto a CD, and then the CD and the book get sent out to their kid. This is Lisa D'Onofrio, the facilitator of the Read Along Dads program. I think there's benefits for the kids and I think there's benefits for the participants. I mean, for the kids, it's a really lovely thing to receive in the post, and it's a way for them to maintain a connection with their parents in a non-confrontational way. And I think for the participants, it is a very gentle way to keep in contact with their kids. It opens up all sorts of doors for them. So it might be a way in for them to improve their own literacy or to spark an interest in books and reading, or just to, be part of something or be part of a program in prison which doesn't ask a lot of them and they like participating in. I'm waiting out in the corridor while Lisa finishes up recording the men reading their books. The program is so popular, there's a queue of men waiting to go in. There's one big burly prisoner practicing reading his book aloud, but the others who are waiting are just up for a chat.
This one is for a three-year-old or turning three. It's probably not suitable. Once I read it...
Oh, Wombat Stew, what's wrong with it?
It's just a bit long.
Oh, is it?
A bit long. Some of the words, like, It'd probably scare him.
Another prisoner who's just back from an optometrist appointment is getting ready for his reading session. But before that, he wants to tell me about his family and how he ended up here. Let's call him Patrick.
I'm a 38-year-old man, currently serving a 5-year sentence with 3.5 years on the bottom. I have 5 daughters in 3 different relationships. I currently do read-along dads for 4 of the kids that I have. And my youngest daughter, to the lady I've got the 3 kids to, we split up when she was only 18 months old or something young, and she didn't really know me. So the read-along dads program and speaking to her on the CDs and that, I think it's really encouraged her to speak to me. Like, from her opinion, she'd probably think, oh, dad's pretty crazy, like he's tattooed and, you know, and he's done a lot of jail. But I guess hearing me voice on the CD and that, she's come to realise, hang on a minute, he's not that scary. Hello, it's your dad here, doing the read-along dad program again. Got a book, Billionaire Boy. If it doesn't put a smile on your face, I probably will. Anyway, we'll see how we go, huh? All right, love ya. Billionaire Boy, Chapter 1, Meet Joe Spud. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have $1 million or $1 billion? When I first started doing it, like, I sort of thought I wouldn't struggle to read them, but when the tape recorder starts, like, my nerves just kicked in, and I struggled a little bit. Like, I read it, but, like, I was sweating and very nervous. Like, now I'll sort of, you know, read with confidence, and the kids have sort of picked up on that as well, so.
And when you grew up, did you read books much?
Nah, not at all. It's funny you say that. I've only have read a couple of books in my life, and one of them was Underbelly 10. That was the first book that I read, and the second one was Chopper. Yeah, I suppose that I've found a bit of a new passion in here, because it takes me away, it gets me out besides the walls, and you know, if I'm frustrated or angry and my mind's ticking over, I've found myself grabbing a book just to sort of take me away. And it's gave us something to sort of focus on in our conversations, in letters and on the phone.
Middleton Muslim prayers now on in the hub. Muslim prayers now on in the hub.
Being in prison takes its toll on you. How do you think it's impacted your kids?
The things that I've put them through over the years, like, I'd understand if they never spoke to me again for not being there, you know, so.
And with 18 months to go, like, obviously you want to have a relationship with your kids.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll want to have a relationship with you?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Just take her out.
Little.
It's a cold and windy Saturday afternoon, and Patrick's 3 teenage daughters and his ex-partner, who has since remarried, agree to meet with me at their local park. Do you want to have a relationship with your dad when he's out?
Yeah, I want him to be a dad, but I don't know what's going to happen. No one knows. Yeah, well, it'd be cool to be able to call someone dad, like, face to face every day, but, like, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I feel pretty excited. I'm going to go live with him when he gets out and then better him as a person, because I'll be around 17, 18.
Meeting with Patrick's 3 girls, I'm struck by how much they look like their dad. Similar eyes. But they haven't been able to see him for years because of a current restriction which doesn't allow him visits from children. The only contact they have is phone calls, letters and the read-along dad recordings, which they say they listen to whenever they arrive in the post.
I walk into my sister's room and put it in her TV and then listen to it.
What's it like hearing his voice?
Yeah, it's pretty nice to hear his voice every once in a while.
it's different because I haven't heard it in so long, and then you hear it off like a recording and it's, I don't know, weird.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's good hearing his voice.
He said that you criticised his reading the other day.
Yeah, he's not a very good reader.
Has he gotten better?
Yeah, way better from the start.
The girls tell me that at their house, a home phone is set up so Patrick can call them. If that phone rings, it'll be him, and they are the only ones allowed to answer it.
It's like 11 minutes and we share it around between the three of us.
And what's it like chatting to him on the phone?
Oh, it's good. You tell him what happened this day and then that day.
Is it hard to know what to talk to him about sometimes?
Yeah, because it's constant. Like, you can't really tell him, oh yeah, I did this today, because it could have been the same as yesterday and he already knows. And he's like, oh, so what else? Like, the same as yesterday. But yeah, it's all right.
And what's it like for you talking to your dad on the phone?
Oh, there's not much to talk about. He just, every time we call, he's just for like, how's football? Oh, yeah, the same as last training. Yeah, so it's a bit boring, but it's good hearing his voice and knowing what he's up to and stuff.
Attention Middleton, standing in your land rooms for the count, standing in your land rooms for the count.
What they don't know is when I ring and they answer, the jail plays a message saying, this is a prisoner from Middleton Prison, and they don't understand that I can hear, and they're arguing like, oh, I'm talking first, and that just makes me feel good and makes me think, well, it's worthwhile ringing because they're arguing over who gets the first 5 minutes, you know, so yeah, it's good.
Lisa D'Onofrio, the facilitator of Read Along Dads, has been running the program for the last 6 years. She's spent a lot of time in prisons, so I ask her what she sees as the most difficult thing prisoners who are also parents grapple with.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tricky. They can't tuck their kids in, they can't kiss them goodnight. They can contact them on the phone, and if they're lucky enough to, there's no restrictions and their kids live nearby, they may see them. But, you know, just that being physically apart from the household, you know, they don't get to do the fun stuff, I suppose, of being a parent. And, you know, we all know it's very hard work raising kids, and that light element, you know, of just playing with your kid or having a giggle or that kind of stuff, you know, that they really miss that side of things. I think being inside here, it really has made me appreciate the hard work of the parent left behind who's raising those children, and that's such a big job to do when you have got a partner in prison, I think, to deal with all the systems and admin by yourself, and as well as raise kids in what may be difficult circumstances.
Oh, really? It goes that way every time. No. Who's the wind?
I'm the mum of three daughters and their father is in prison.
People have said to me that, you know, it's tough on the prisoner being in prison, but it's almost the same for the person outside. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. More so for the kids than it is for the females. We had to have money, so you had to have enough money to give him his allowances for his monthly spending, for his phone calls, for his letters. Then you had to also support your children on your own, and then have money for accommodation, travel, petrol.
Can you talk about when you guys first met?
We met, oh God, I don't even remember what year it was. I would have been about 18, I think. 18. I had two children, previous children. He was normal. So we used to go out for dinner. He'd cook me dinner. He worked full time. We spent every day together. Like, he was a completely different person to what he turned out to be.
What happened?
Drugs, alcohol, and his friends. Hung around with the wrong sort of people.
And then you got pregnant?
Yeah, he was in prison for every single baby. He wasn't at any of the births, and not during the pregnancy either. So my last, he went to court just after we found out I was pregnant with my youngest.
And you stuck by him?
Yep.
Why?
Because I'm an idiot. I don't know. Love, I guess. Kids. Yeah.
And what was the tipping point when you decided enough was enough?
The kid's safety. And I'd had enough. And he was beyond help, so it was time to go.
How do you think it's impacted them having their dad in and out of jail?
This impacted them a lot, like, you know, like friends, being around friends that have dads around, being at football, their sports, everything, and they have to live a lie pretty much. Like, everyone thinks that my current partner and my kids are all just one family, so they don't know that we're a split family or, yeah, most of them think that we're just all, like, yeah, my current partner's their father.
So you don't tell anyone?
No.
How come?
It's embarrassing. That's my past and no one needs to know. And it's not something that I want to remember.
The girls tell me about what it's like to have a dad in prison and how it's affected them. They all have a slightly different opinion. The eldest says it's had a big impact on her because her dad just hasn't been there when he should have.
I think it's changed a lot. Like, everyone else has their, like, cute little families and they go home and go out with their dad and their mum. But I think our stepdad has changed a lot. He's always there and he, like, takes us to football and he does what a dad should do and what my dad should have done for us.
The youngest says she's been witness to stuff she shouldn't have.
Oh, I feel like I grew up way faster than I should have.
And then the middle daughter has a lot of behavioural issues, which she links to her dad.
Having such a close, like, bond with my father, it was very hard. It's a real sensitive spot for me. Like, I've inherited my dad's anger issues. So I struggle so much in school. And, like, I'll be like this for, like, 5 minutes and then I'll be really sad and then I'll get really angry. Like, and it causes so much trouble for me because I get in so much trouble at school and everything.
Do you ever worry that you could go down his path?
Yeah, my whole family does a little bit. Yeah. I went down when Dad actually did get locked up. I went down a very, very bad path. So I chucked all my friends away and made a new group. That new group was not the group I should have been in. And then I kept that for about a year. And then I kept going really horrible. Like, my behaviour was shocking. What I was doing was shocking. School, I wasn't going. If someone said the slightest thing to me, it would just get mad, and it was horrible. But yeah, I'm getting a bit better now.
The middle daughter adds that even when their dad was around, their home life was pretty dysfunctional.
I can probably only remember, like, one good thing of when I was living with Dad, and that was probably, like, one Christmas, and he bought me, like, a doll. And, like, that's all I can remember. That's the only good thing I can remember. Everything else was just, yeah, pretty scarring.
What kind of was so horrible about it?
How he treated my mum, drugs, physical fights with anybody and everyone, leaving me at school, like, for so many hours and just not remembering. Yeah, just stuff like that.
Do you feel like you know him well?
No, not really, not at all. I was very close with him when I was younger. Yeah, and then he went back to jail. So, no, not anymore.
Right.
I played netball for years and I got a lot of medals for that, trophies, and then going on to football, and I'm only the one that's been able to go through school and a lot of things that he's missed out on.
How do you feel towards him for missing out on those important things in your life?
Quite upset, but I mean, it's his fault and he realised that, and I understand.
Do you ever feel angry that he's locked up and he can't see you play footy or do other things?
Well, yeah. Well, he could be there, but he chose to do bad decisions, and, well, I can't really help that, can I?
Earlier this year, Patrick's eldest daughter had her debutante ball. It was clearly a very special occasion where his absence was felt.
Yeah, I sent him a lot of photos and he said he cried, but I'm glad that he got to realise that he missed out on a lot.
My 16-year-old daughter done a deb, and she sent me in photos, and that was very hard to sort of to come to terms with, not being there for her, to be able to support her. And and in the same token, I was very proud, you know. So this time I want to get out, and I promised her I won't miss out on a wedding, you know. I'm getting older now, and to do a few years in jail, it definitely hasn't hurt me, because I've seen that I've began to grow in so many areas, you know, like it's never too late to learn, like a lot of people would say that, but until you start to live it, you don't understand, you know.
Can you talk about why you're inside?
I'm in here for, it was quite a few charges. To start off with, it was a recklessly caused injury and unlawful assaults. I had a couple of car chases, so drive-by was qualified, and I was on bail for them charges when I committed an aggravated burglary. Even though nothing was stolen, I went into a house without permission, and that was that, aggravated burglary.
And you'd had like a string of other times in prison prior to those?
Yeah. I think I'd been to jail since 2002, six times.
How old were you when you first came in?
21.
What do you think it was about that period in your life?
Pressure, a lot of pressure of being unsuccessful, I think. Alcohol and drugs were a big factor. I'd had the three kids to an ex-partner, and the pressure of being a failure as a dad, I think, at a young age, like the ex-partner, all she wanted me to do was pull me head in and, you know, do the right thing, go to work, earn money and live a family life. And I think that I was just too immature and stupid to hang the gloves up when she wanted me to, you know. I even sometimes now I find that I think, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, I was never treated unfairly as a kid or, you know, witness to violence or any of that. So my mum still says she doesn't understand where I went wrong, you know. Like, I was such a beautiful kid, and I guess anybody can end up in jail, you know, at the end of the day. It's just like the penny's dropped, you know, like. And thank God it's not too late, you know?
Oh, it's against the wind.
You're going to miss.
When it comes to the crimes that Patrick has committed, his daughters say they'd rather not know.
But I honestly don't even know the reason why.
Never.
So you don't know what crimes he's committed?
No, I don't know anything. Mum doesn't know either, I don't think.
You prefer not to?
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah, be good.
Would you prefer not to know?
Well, I'm curious, but, like, I don't really want to know, because then I'll just, like, think of him as in, like, a bad person. And now I don't really think of him as much as a bad person because I don't know what he's done.
When he says that he's changed and he'll get out in a couple of years, do you believe him?
I believe he's helped, like, the prison's helped him a lot, but I don't think things will change when he gets out. I think he'll go back to normal.
What about you?
Oh, well, I'm not sure. Maybe if he comes out, go back to his bad habits and get into the stuff he got into again. So I'm not sure.
Patrick's middle daughter seems the most optimistic of the three. She says she dreams of the day that her dad is released.
Day after day, like, that's all I think about. Like, I'll have my mind off something and then I'll be, oh, can't even think of how I feel. I'll be amazing. That would be so good.
Do you worry about him inside?
Yeah, a lot. But I feel like he's doing great, so.
Yeah. Do you want to add anything else?
That I'm proud of him and everything he's achieving. Like, he hasn't done that before. So, like, every other time he's gone in, he's come out and he's done the same thing because it hasn't been a long sentence. But this one, he's doing great. Like, if this was 3 years ago, he would have told you, get out of my face. Like, no way am I reading a book. No way. He would just be like, nah, 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 nah. And he wouldn't have tried. He just would have waited, got himself in trouble. But, like, he's helping people. He's got a job in there. He's getting money. Like, he's reading books. Like, he's doing good and he's working out and he's getting himself in shape. He's away from the drugs. I'm happy. Very proud of him.
So you believe him when he says he's changed?
100%.
Back at Middleton Prison, the read-along dad session is finishing up for another week.
Sandwich, a piece of pavlova and half a lamington, just to make sure that Hush stayed visible forever, and she did. That's the end of the book, darling. I love you. Bye.
I hope you like this book. I'll have to see you again soon, when you get time. Okay, from your pub. Bye.
I'll see you later, my boy, and I'll talk to you soon.
Read Along, Dads was produced by Fiona Pepper. A huge thanks to the family for being so willing to share their story. Music was by Nathan Nisbet and sound design by Richard Gervin. I'm Miyuki Yokiranta, and you've been listening to Earshot. And the kids you've heard from today are just a handful of the approximately 60,000 Australian children who have a parent currently in prison. To finish, here's the final chapter of Patrick's book.
A billion rolls around the world every day, and every time a roll was sold, he made 10 cents. It all added up to an awful lot of money, as this simple mass equation shows. I hope you get a bit of a laugh out of that. Love you heaps, and talk to you soon. Behave yourself.